Our reading for Sunday, April 26th, begins in Acts chapter 4.
Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For what a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Now when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We'll stop there for our reading for today. Going back and looking at chapter 4, chapter 3, we had seen the lame beggar that was healed. And of course, he was leaping and generating interest. And so Peter begins to preach Jesus unto them. This caught enough notice and attention that the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. They were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them. They put them in custody. And they feel threatened by this, same way they were feeling threatened by Jesus. And I think they had that intention or expectation that when Jesus was crucified, this was going to be over. It was going to just fade off into the background. But that's not what happened. Quite the opposite has happened. There are thousands and thousands of people that are hearing the gospel being preached, and many thousands have been obedient, being added to the church, and they are continuing daily to listen to the apostles and heed the things that they are teaching. So in verse 6, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander of the high priestly family asked them this question: by what power, by what name did you do this? Unless they totally missed any of the teaching or anybody telling them about the teaching, then they already know the answer to this question. They know that they were preaching Jesus. And so that would have been the power and name that they did this. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives them this divine response. If we're being examined for a good deed, by what means this man was healed, then let it be known that this was done by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by him this man is standing before you well. So a very pointed argument that the name and power by which this is done is by the very one whom you are guilty of crucifying him. And says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you and has become the cornerstone. That is by prophecy, of course. And of course, verse 12 is extremely important in this. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must, or I would say, can be saved. There is no other name by which we can be saved. So not only is he saying you crucified him, not only is he saying that Jesus is alive and well and his power still exists, but he gives this very pointed statement to them that if you don't accept him, then you can't have salvation. There's no other name by which you can have salvation. So they see the boldness of Peter and John. They see that they are uneducated, common men. And they are astonished. They recognize that they had been with Jesus. What do you think the markers were to let them see they had been with Jesus? Well, it was probably the way they were speaking. And perhaps because of the inspiration, knowing that people of their station in society didn't talk this way. So I think those were possible markers that led them to that conclusion. Verse 14, seeing that the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Or I would change that and say, you know, for me personally, I would say they can't say anything. They can't respond because they can't deny that the man has been healed. When they commanded them to leave the council, they begin to confer with one another. What are we going to do? This is a notable sign. It is evident to everyone, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further, let us warn them not to speak in this name. Did they really think that would work? They crucified Jesus, and that didn't stop them from preaching in his name. Are they really going to be able to say, don't talk about Jesus, and that won't do any good at all? I assume that they just came to that as the only thing that they could do, but it's strange that they thought that would be effective if they did think that. So that's what they do. They tell them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, and Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. It's not really that they needed to judge, it's that it's a rhetorical statement. They already knew what the answer to that was. Even though they may not like the conclusion, there's no way that the leaders of the Jews could make any statement about whether they should listen to man or to God. And so they say, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard, which is what God told them to do. That's what they were inspired to do. That's what they were sent out by Jesus to do. They further threatening them and finding no way to punish them because of the people, because of the popularity, because the people all know what's going on. For all were praising God for what happened. They gave him glory. They recognized that this man was healed by the power of God. And the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And I would point you back to the healing and say that he was well known. Everybody knew of him. Everybody knew that he was dependent, that he had been there all of those years asking for others to be with them. So Peter and John, their response to this is after their release, they go and tell their friends, their fellow saints, what had happened. And the response then of all of them is to lift their voices to God and make these various statements here in verse 24, 25, 26, 27, and through 29 or 30. And part of that is referring to Scripture. Part of that is glorification of God. I would point out to you that despite the persecution, despite the being threatened, their answer is to glorify God. And that should be the same way with us. You know, right now, we're not facing the same types of persecution, being threatened by those in power to not speak in Jesus' name. And I hope that it never will be. But no matter what our circumstances, we should praise God for what we do have rather than complain about what we don't have. They recognized that there were many that had been against Jesus, but that God's predestined plan took place. And then they prayed that they might speak with more boldness, that it not deter them, that they have the strength and the courage that is necessary. And so then in verse 31, God answers that prayer. This is completely pleasing to him, that they are not deterred at all, that they glorify him, they give him credit, and they ask to have the ability and the courage to do even more. So verse 31, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Their prayer was answered. We can take a lot of encouragement from chapter 3. We're not in the same circumstance, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that when we do the will of God, when we give God the credit for the things that he does, and when we ask for the strength and the courage to continue to do what he asks of us, he will bless us. He will be with us. We should be praying the same types of things that they were here in this particular chapter. I hope that emboldens you to pray today for your fellow saints, for those that are treating, those that are overcome with this virus, for those that are trying to make decisions about what the best future route is for us to handle the infectious disease that is running around. So many things to pray about. And I hope that this gives us some direction. Let's all pray that God be with us all, that he will bless us, and that we will have opportunities to serve him and glorify him in the way that we live our lives. God be with us all.